Daf Zayin, yeah, with the Mishnah, second line from the top. Ketzad Oisala, what do they do to the woman? So now we've got through the rules about when we do, when the woman's a Soita with the Kinui and the Stira. So now we talk about what's actually the process. So what do they do? Melicha lebezdin shabu Oisai Makim. First, the husband would take her to the local Bezdin. So he wasn't necessarily living in Yerushalayim. He would take her to the local Bezdin. And they provide two bodyguards, Talmidei Chachamim, Shema Yovel Labadera, because they're both going to go together. They're both going for a trip to Yerushalayim. So on the way, they might get stuck in the hotel room together or something. So you give them two chaperones, Talmidei Chachamim, to make sure they don't get together. And Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Bala Nemela, Rabbi Yehuda says you do not need chaperones. We trust the husband that he's not going to do anything with her along the way. So the Gemara says, from this we see why two Talmidei Chachamim, why not one? Why do you need to have two bodyguards? Well, because Trei V'ihu, it must be that it's two besides him, three people altogether. Hatlasa, so two plus him, Hatlasa is three. It's Lema Messiah Le Rav. So this seems to be a proof for what Rav said. The Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Rav, Lai Shanu Ela Be'ir. When in the laws of Yichud, so it says that a woman's allowed to have Yichud, not allowed to be Yichud with one man. A man and a woman together in a secluded space is not allowed, but one woman with two men is okay, because there's like chaperoning. Nothing's going to happen when there's another guy standing there. And Rav said on that's only if they're in the city. So the two men, they're sort of keeping an eye on each other. Aval b'derech. But if they're traveling together, then a woman and two men is no good. Ad ikah shloisha. You need a woman is traveling. There needs to be three men with her for it to be all above board. Why? Because if there's only two men, shema yitzarech echad mehem l'nekavav. One of them will need to go for an excuse. The nimtza echa mehen misyached imerv, and while he's off then you get the other guys by himself with the woman. So you need to have three. So he says the same thing over here, because they're traveling to Yerushalayim, they're on the way. So in case one of them will need to go away, so you wouldn't have the two. Says a Gemara, loy. No, here it's different. It doesn't prove that Rav is right that you need to have three, but here it's different. Here you want to have two witnesses in case something happens. You have two witnesses on the spot. So therefore, besides the husband, you give them two Talmidei Chachamim. So they're witnessing. They're not just there to prevent Yichud. They're there also to be witnesses in case needed. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, we said in the Mishnah that you're taking who? Two Talmidei Chachamim are going along on the road. So
what happened in the local court?
The local court is nothing. They did a court order and they said, bang with a gavel, and they said, you go to Yerushalayim. Right. The court has to check whether there was Kinui and Stira and whether we're starting off the process. And then they appoint the two chaperones. And then they say, goodbye, Charlie, and you go off to Yerushalayim. So we said that there has to be two Talmidei Chachamim accompanying them. Says the Gemara, Talmidei Chachamim ein or b'kulei amaloi. They have to be Talmidei Chachamim, not just any two guys off the street. It has to be two Talmidei Chachamim. Why is it so? Is Lema Messiah Leila Idata Rav? Maybe that's a proof for the other thing that Rav said. Why does it have to be Talmidei Chachamim? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, again, with the din of Yichud, when we say that a woman is allowed to be secluded with two men, and that's not a problem of Yichud there, because with two men, they're not going to do anything because each one is watching the other. When is it with Ksherin? If the two men are morally upright, kosher people, then they're not going to be tempted to do anything while the other guy's watching. Aval Prutzin. But if you have promiscuous, immoral, whatever people, is a filo asara nami loy, even with 10 men. Who knows what's going on there? They have all kinds of wild parties. Yeah, and a maisa haya, there was a story that was found. Haytsiyuha asara b'mita. What happened was they wanted to do some kind of an illicit adventure. So what they did is they put her in a coffin to pretend she was dead. And 10 guys said, oh, we better go and bury her. So they schlepped her out to the, we're going to the cemetery, all 10 of them, yeah? And they went out. And then who knows what they did when they got to the motel next to the cemetery. She woke up, yeah. So therefore, if you've got people who are known to be prutzim, they're promiscuous, then you can't trust anybody. So maybe that's why the Mishnah says over here, Tamini Chachamim. Because if there wouldn't be Tamini Chachamim, then maybe who knows what could happen. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a proof. It's not a proof for us there, because Hacha Hainatama, the Yadila Sriyabay, here you have Tamini Chachamim because you want someone who knows the halacha. Because they have to warn the husband, because it's a husband and a wife after all, yeah? So they think they're going to share the hotel room on the side, so you need the two Talmid Chachamim to tell them the halacha, that if you do that, you muck up the whole process. And therefore, you're not allowed to. Not only muck up the process, but you're not allowed to. She's also to him, once they're on the way, they're not allowed to share the hotel room anymore. So therefore, the two Talmid Chachamim will know that halacha, and they will warn him that he shouldn't do it. But if they're just two Amaratzim, they might not realize that, and they'll say, yeah, what's wrong? Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Huda Emer Baila V'chulu. Rabbi Huda says you don't need to have the two chaperones because the husband is trusted all by himself. Tanya will learn in a brisa. Rabbi Huda Emer Baila's Nemo Mikava Chomer. How does Rabbi Huda decide that a husband is trusted all by himself? He learns a Kava Chomer. What's the Kava Chomer? Madach Nida. When a husband is married to his wife and she becomes a Nida. So therefore, what? He becomes. At that point, while she's a Nida, the relations is also, and it's a chi of koris. It's a very strict avera, it's a koris. But nevertheless, bailo nemen aleha, we don't need a chaperone for every husband and wife when the wife's a nida. We say we trust them. Is a soita she belav. So for the husband to be intimate with his wife when she's a soita, it's only a loisa say. So it's not a strict. So if you trust him on the strict avera, which is a koris, is it only a simple lav, like culture gain? Isn't it a kavachemer? We should trust him on that. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Where Rabbanan, the Chachamim, say exactly the opposite. He hanei senes. That is the reason why we don't trust him. Well, a nida de kores, when it comes to a chi of kores, of nida, chamirale, the husband realizes that it's a strict thing, vilmehemin, and therefore he himself would not have the, would not want to be over on such a strict avera, so therefore we can trust him that he didn't do an avera, which is a chi of koris. Abresoita de lav, but the iser by a soita is only a loisa say, is like chamirulei, so he wouldn't consider it so strict, and he'd think, eh, it's no big deal if I go ahead and do it. Velomehem, and therefore we cannot trust him. Incidentally, what's the loisa say? So the Rashi says, we're going to learn later on, the loisa say is, it's very interesting because the Pasuk doesn't seem to be talking about a Saita at all. The Pasuk of Pasuk Kiseitse talks about a woman who gets divorced and she goes and marries somebody and then she gets divorced from the second guy. It says she's not allowed to go back to the first guy. Yeah, but the Gemara works out there that there's superfluous words. What's the Asher Hutamaha business? A normal wife is not Hutamaha. So it says the rabbis is a Saita. So that's where we learn a loisa say that a husband is not allowed to be with his wife while she's a soita, while she's in the middle of this process. Okay, so that's the kavah chaymer Rabbi Yehuda had, and the Chum said the kavah chaymer works exactly the opposite. Now, Fred the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda mikroi ma'isila. What do you mean Rabbi Yehuda learned it from a kavah chaymer? For the Brisa says Rabbi Yehuda learned it from a kavah chaymer. But one second, right? We have another Brisa which says that Rabbi Yehuda learned it out from a pasuk, not a kavah chaymer, from the words of the pasuk. The Tanya would learn a Brisa. It says in the Parsha Soita, Parsha's not Soita, behavior Ishas Ishtayela Koyin, that the husband brings his wife to the Koyin. It doesn't say two chaperones bring the wife to the Koyin, it says the husband brings his wife to the Koyin. It's Min HaToira, Ha'ish Mehviyas Ishtay. That means that from the strict letter of the law, Min HaToira, the husband can bring his wife. You don't need any accompanying chaperones. Aval Amr Chachamim. But the Chachamim said, "Meisrim lo shnei tamin Chachamim shema yovei olav aderech." It's like a zera. The zera is Chachamim that, just in case, we'll send two people to chaperone with him along the way. Yeah. So that's what Talmud Kama says. Rabbi Yosi Omer. Rabbi Yosi says, "No, ba'alo neman aleha mikavachomer. You don't need it. You don't need two chaperones, and you don't even need. We don't learn it from the pasuk. He learns it from the kavachomer." Yeah, so in this Brisa, the Tanakam is learning from the Kavachomer, from the Pasuk, and Rabbi Yosi is learning from the Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? The same one that we said before in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that man nidoshi bekare spala neman aleha, that madach, when a man has got his wife as a nida, we believe him and we don't require chaperones to keep him away from her, is soita she belav. So it's only a loisa say loy kolshekin, how much more so? And Amru loy, and then comes the Chachamim, and they said back to Rabbi Yossi, this is a new part of the argument. The Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yossi, loy, no, your kavachim doesn't work. Why? Because ima marta bin nida, why do we believe the husband when his wife is a nida, we trust him to stay away from her, and we don't choshed and need chaperones to keep him away? Shekein yesh laheter, because it's a temporary thing. He knows that it's only temporary. It happens every month, so he'll restrain himself for 2 weeks, and then he goes weiter. So therefore, the temptation isn't so crazy for him that he needs to be chaperoned to make sure nothing happens. But a soita is, there's never, well, as long as she's a soita, it's never going to become mutter. And if she's guilty, then it's never going to become mutter. Yeah? And therefore, because there's no heter later, so he's got the temptation to, literally it means stolen water is sweeter. Something which is like the forbidden fruit, you know, is more tempting. So therefore,
sneaking a snake in a school toilet.
Well, speak for yourself, mate. Speak for yourself. Excuse me, we don't need your vidu berabim here. So
just
therefore,
an example,
really right? Yeah, okay. So therefore, we cannot trust the guy with the soita. So that was the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. Well, we're trying to talk about Rabbi Yehuda, because we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda in the previous basis, and now we continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, min ha-Torah, ha-ish mev yesishtei la-Koyin. Min ha-Torah, the husband can bring his wife to the Koyin, and you don't need any chaperones. Shenem ha-vehevi ha-ish yesishtei, as the Pasuk says. Yeah, so again, he says the same thing as like... as like the Tanakama of this Brisa. So in the first Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda learns it from a Kavach Chomer. In the second Brisa, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda gets it from the Pasuk, behavior Ishas Ishtai. So what's going on here? How does Rabbi Yehuda learn? So the Gemara answers like this, Amalahu Kavach Chomer. First, Rabbi Yehuda told him the Kavach Chomer, Bereisha, first. And then, Uparchua, the Yopshlag the Kavach Chomer. Because the Yopshlag the Kavach Chomer, in fact, two upslugs. In the first price of the upslug, the Kavachomer, by saying Hihane Senes, that Adarabba, he's more likely to transgress when it's more lenient, because he doesn't treat it so seriously. And the Kavachomer is upslugged in the second price, because the need is only temporary, whereas the Soit is permanent. Yeah. So they upslug the Kavachomer, the Hadarama Lahukra. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, okay, even if you upslug my kavachomer, but it's a mefurash pasuk that the husband brings his wife. So he stands by his halacha that he's trusted. Okay, now the Gemara asks one more question. In the second brisa, we started off with the first anonymous opinion that said, behavior ishas ishtoi. And then we had Rabbi Yehuda, who also said, behavior ishas ishtoi. It's Freddy Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, hainu tana kama. Why do we have two people saying the same thing? The first Tana and Rabbi Yehuda seem to say exactly the same thing. And for the Gemara, Iki b'nayo aval omru. The difference is that the first guy said that min ha-Torah is believed, but the Chachamim said that just in case we're going to have the chaperones. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even say that you need them. Even midrabanan, they don't need the chaperones. He says the way it's piped that he can go by himself without any chaperones. Okay, next Mishnah. So what happened? Hoyu mali ma'asal bezdin ha-gadol shiyu b'shalayim. They took her to the Sanhedrin, the big in Yerushalayim, uma'aymin aleha, and then they scared her. Ma'aymin, they scared her. Kederach shema'aymin ayadei nefoshes. Just like they scared witnesses when it was a case of a capital case, like we learn in Sanhedrin, that we haven't got to yet, but we will one of these years. Yeah, that it says there that if you have a capital case and two witnesses come and they're going to testify that this person is chayav misa, so the Bezdin was very concerned that the witnesses shouldn't treat it very lightly, and they scared them by saying, if you're wrong and if you're lying, all these wonderful things are going to happen to you. So there was just a way of putting the fear of God into them, so to speak. So the same thing is here, that they scared her because they wanted... What happens when you do a soita? You take the parsha of the Torah and it's Hashem's name is written there, and you have to rub it out. So generally, rubbing out Hashem's name is not something that we are allowed to do. It's a special thing. So they try to avoid it at all costs. In other words, if she'll admit that she's guilty beforehand, then she doesn't drink. So you don't need to rub out Hashem's name. So therefore, they tried very hard to scare her to say that if she's guilty, she's better off admitting it now rather than letting it go through the process. So that's that was the scaring. The guy in the bezdin says to her, "Biti, my daughter." So he starts off by trying to play, be right. Good cop. You have good cop, bad cop. Yeah. So he starts off by saying, "Oh, my daughter, harbe yayin." I said, "Don't you know? We understand if you
let's do a plea bargain."
Well, plea bargain. Yeah. Okay. So maybe you're guilty. You did the wrong thing, but you know, you don't have to compound it. Okay, so maybe you had too much wine, so it led you astray. Or you were being too playing around too much, so you got too frivolous, it got out of hand. Harba yaldus, so you're young and foolish, you do funny things. You know, we can understand. Harba shcheinim haroim, so you might have bad neighbors who are a bad influence on you. So in other words, We're not here to assassinate your character. There's all these circumstances, but you know what? If you're guilty, just admit it. If you're guilty, you should make it that Hashem's name should not, which is written in the holy Hashem's name, should not have to be erased into the water. So that's what he says to her. That doesn't sound so scary, really. But anyway, the Omer lefaneha dvarim she'en kedar l'shoyma. And then, then he says to her things that are not, the Mishnah uses the expression, things that are not, literally are not worth hearing. What do you mean things that are not? It's not suitable to hear them. So the Gemara is going to explain, it means things, examples of people who admitted sins that they did, like Yehuda and Reuven, etc. We'll see in the Gemara. Yeah. And then, let me just check the editing. The Chol Mishpachas Beis Avia, and he also talks about, he also tell her about the shame that's going to be on the family. So they try to do all of these methods to make her admit that she's guilty. Is Im Omra Tzmeyani, and if that worked and she admitted it, so then what happens? She doesn't drink the water anymore. That's it. She's guilty. She's guilty. That means that he has to divorce her. But she's not entitled to her ksuba. It's sheveres ksuba. She breaks the ksuba. What do you mean you breaks the ksuba? So the word for a receipt is a shever. She writes him a receipt on the ksuba because she's not entitled to it anymore. So she writes a receipt that he doesn't owe her anymore the ksuba. V'yoytzis, and she goes out with a get. That's if she admitted. V'im amra tahirani, if she's still adamant that she's innocent, is then they take her to the eastern gate in the Beis Hamikdash, which is where the gate of Nicanor was. We know Nicanor was the guy who donated the golden gates, and he was bringing them on the boat. You know the story? Yeah, in Yuma, we learned the story in Yuma, and there was a storm, and they threw the gate overboard to try to lighten the load on the boat. And then it didn't help, and they were going to throw the second one over, and he said, "You throw the second one over, you can throw me over as well." And then the storm abated, and then he was very upset about the one gate, because it was two gates, one gate that was lost at sea. And then when they turned up at, where was it, at Akko, in the port there, the other gate was floating along next to it, so that was the miracle of Nicanor's gates. So they put that in the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Azara. So that's where they took her. Shashah mashkim es ha-soytis. That's where they give the soytis to drink. That's the place. Umetarim es ha-yoldis. Also in that place, in the gate itself, the walls of the Azara were thick. So the gate had thickness in it. So in that doorway, if you had, let's say, a yoletis had to bring, a woman who had a baby, had to bring karbonis in order.
This is not the Shah Nikon. This is the Shah of the thing to the Haravais.
Why not?
Because it says,
because that's where. No, it's the door to the Azara. No, it's the door to the Azara. Because you have there the Karbonis are done, and the Karbonis have to be in the Azara.
Yeah.
And the person's not allowed to be in the Azara. So they did it in the gate, yeah? which is sort of a halfway house, and let's say the mitzvah, the next one, the yoledes who had to bring a korban. So the korban was in the azara, and she was outside the azara. And mitaranes and mitzvahin. What happened with the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not allowed to go into the azara, but he has to get the blood of the korban ashram on his thumb. So how does he get the blood on his thumb if he's not allowed to go in? So what happened was the kohen came to the edge of the gate, and he stood in the doorway, and he stuck his thumb in, and they let him put his thumb in, not his whole body, but his thumb. Yeah, so that was, and the blood couldn't go outside the azara. So that is the place where these things happen. And then what happens? The kohen oiches begodel. The kohen grabs her clothes. Im nikro nikro, he grabs it sort of roughly and pulls it. If it tears, bad luck for her. Im nifrumu 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 is a stronger type of tearing. It gets ripped to shreds. Bad luck. Achru megala asleep until he reveals her heart. The seiser is sour and he undoes her tichel or whatever, her hijab, and her hair. He unties her hair. Another, so she should be humiliated. That's really the idea there. Rabbi Huda Omer, im haya liba na'a, if she was pretty, lehaya megalehu, if her heart was pretty, then he wouldn't reveal it, because that would cause too much yetzahara for the people who were watching. Im haya sara, not similarly, if her hair was pretty, lehaya seiser, he wouldn't undo the hair either. That's according to Rabbi Huda. Hosa miskasa b'levonim, if she was wearing white clothes, b'chasa b'shchorim, then she has to put on black clothes. If she was wearing golden jewelry, and it's like some kind of a clip that she wears near her throat to hold her, to close up her garments, a golden jewelry thing, nezamim, or nose rings, with tabois, or rings, you take off all of her jewelry, to make her look more disgusting. Then he brings just a rope from Penhalyarex. No, he says Mitzri means it comes from a Tsurei Dekel. It's a piece of string that's made out of the bark of a palm tree, which goes around that. So they made ropes out of it. So you take such a simple rope, the Koishri Lamala Medadeha, and he ties it around her above her breast to hold her clothes up. It shouldn't fall down. The Chala Reitze Lirais Ba Lirais. Anybody who wants to watch comes and watches, so she's publicly shamed. But we don't let her servants and her maids come and watch, because that would give her too much confidence, because she'll make her feel better. Her helpers are there, so we don't want her to feel confident, so therefore we don't let them watch. All the women are allowed to come and watch, that all the women should be rebuked, and they won't do like according to you. They should all the women should see what happens to her, so that they will learn not to do it. So the Gemara asked me, Nahan Emili, first question is, how do you know you have to go to Beis Din HaGadol Yerushalayim? We learn Gzeira Shara with the word Torah from the Zakein Mamre. A Zakein Mamre is a member of Sanhedrin who goes rogue, and he rebels against the other Sanhedrin. So he, as the Torah talks about a Pasha Shoftim. So there it says, Ksiv Hacha, when it talks about the Soite, the Asa Laha Koi, that's called a Torah. By the Soite, it describes the whole process as the Torah. The Koyin does this whole Torah. Uksiv Hasam, it says, but the Zakin Mamre, the rebellious elder, it says, Al Piha Torah Asher Yerucha, that you have to do according to the Torah which is taught there. So it also uses the word HaTorah. Ma'alahalam b'shivim be'echa. Just like when it talks about the rebellious elder, it's talking about when he rebels against the big Bezdin of 71. Afkam b'shivim be'echa. So here also, she needs to get to the Bezdin of 71. Mamish, the big Sanhedrin, not a small Sanhedrin of 23, but the big one of 71. Tell me when to stop. Ima'aymin aleha. And they scare her. Uraminu, as the question was, just like they scare her not to drink, if she's guilty, they also scare her that she should drink. So how does that work? They say to her, Biti, my daughter, if you are 100% sure that you are innocent, then you should stand on your stance and don't give in. And you should drink it. Because these waters, these bitter waters of the Saita, it's like a dry poison, which is put on healthy flesh. If there's a wound on that flesh, then it's going to get into the bloodstream through the wounds. So then it's poison. But ain't shamaka, but if you take dry poison and put it on your skin and there's no flesh wound, so it's not going to get into your bloodstream. In a moyoklum, it's not going to do anything. Or maybe some could be also medicine. I thought it was poison. Now I think about it, maybe it's actually talking about a cure. So therefore, if you didn't do anything wrong, this water is not going to do anything to you. So therefore, there's no need for you to be scared. So what do you mean? First they're trying to convince that she shouldn't drink, then they're trying to convince that she should drink. We're getting all confused here. So the Gemara says, Leikasha, kan koyer shenichmechaka Megillah. Before Hashem's name was erased, yeah, from the Megillah on the parchment. So then we try to get her to admit it so that Hashem's name doesn't get erased. But once the name is already erased, then we don't want that to be for nothing. So then we say, yeah, you, if you're innocent, you better drink it. Okay, tell me when to stop. Yeah, and if he says, then he tells her things that he has to, that shouldn't be heard. What's that? Tana Rabbanan. He tells her things of stories, things that were in the Torah. The pasuk says that wise people, they tell, they admit their sins. They didn't, and they don't deny it, and they get it from their fathers. Who were their fathers? Yehuda. Yehuda, for example, when he had the whole story with Tamar, yeah, he went to the side of the road and he found Tamar there, and he was intimate with her and the whole thing, and he tried to get her. First, he said that she's a zoina, and then it turned out that he was the guilty party. So he admitted, yes, it was my fault. Is Yehuda hayda v'lo boish? He admitted it, and he wasn't embarrassed. What was the end of Yehuda? Nachal chay elam haba. He ended up deserving that he went to elam haba. Reuven's sin was that he mucked up the bedding, the sleeping arrangements of his father. When his mother died, he decided to get. He took the bed out of Bilhah's tent, etc. Maha Yosefa, what was the end of him? Nacha Chaya Elam Haba, he got to Elam Haba. Well, Mascharan, what was the reward? So the Gemara says, what do you mean Mascharan? Because the Gemara, you just said what the reward was. Elam Mascharan by Elam Hazed, they got reward in this world as well. That Lahem Levadam Nitna the Oretz, that they got the portion in Eretz Yisrael, Vele Avar Zar B'Seicham, and a stranger didn't get in there. And we will continue this tomorrow.